SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of A Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Still two more hours to go here on this TEL Football Friday. A lot around the NFL week number 10 and the Sunday slate. We'll dive into college football. We gave you the update to end out the opening hour just a few minutes ago for the update that came in within the last 15 minutes or so. The Big Ten expected to hand down its punishment to Michigan today. Early in the afternoon hours, and it could be severe. Potentially, as ESPN's Heather Dinich is reporting, a three-game suspension for head coach Jim Harbaugh as Michigan readies itself for a top 10 tilt tomorrow afternoon in Happy Valley against Penn State. Donnie, we'll get to that to end out this second hour and to start hour number three. But I know, my friend, you are chomping at the bit with so much to discuss, so many different wrinkles and nuances in this scenario.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be heart-wrenching tomorrow at Penn State when J.J. McCarthy lines them up in the I formation and they take a delay game because free Harbaugh, he did nothing wrong. I can't wait. We're going to get popping here soon.
They'll put the fours up in the air, not to signal the fourth quarter at the start of the opening one, but that was Jim Harbaugh's number when he played quarterback at the University of Michigan. Don't forget, Jim Harbaugh.
Here, I'm going to need it.
You might. You're going to get a little bit upset. I can't wait for the end of this hour. That's going to be some great sports television. Donnie, of course, Jim Harbaugh already served a self-imposed suspension in the first three games of this year. If he has three coming in the back end, that would be half of the game suspended as the head coach for the Maize and Blue this year. Let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here to be Football Friday on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159, and all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. DRS, let's look at week number 10 and that Sunday slate. It starts early once again in Frankfurt, Germany. I love what our producers behind the scenes, John Shames and Joe Friso, did here for the headlines of these game boards and the graphics. For the early start at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, it's just stay in bed for the Colts and the Pats in Frankfurt. Donnie, the line, 1.5 in favor of Indianapolis. The over-under, 43 and a hook. Donnie, if you're up early for this game, as I know you guys will be on Pro Football Today on Sunday, tracking it live, what's your approach?
Yeah, the approach is like last week, like, oh, man, we got a really good football game here. I don't even know if we're even going to give an update on this game on Sunday morning because of how bad it's probably expecting. And by the way, 43, that game should be 23 as a total. We all know the affinity that Bill Belichick has for the military academies here. I don't know if anybody's going to throw a forward pass in this football game and have some success. So I know we like to send the best and the brightest overseas to sort of showcase our football team and our game here. This is a disaster waiting to happen. Now, having said that, the true disaster is actually the New England Patriots in this spot. I actually like Gardner Minshew to go in there and say, you know what? We're favored here. The Colts are favored against the Patriots. So see how terrible the Patriots are. Give me the Colts in this one in a snooze fest.
This will be the second consecutive game for Indianapolis, Donnie, booked as the favored side, including last week as a short favorite on the road in Carolina. They won and covered. They were an underdog, though, in their first eight games of the year prior to these past 2 weeks. Donnie, the only reason I think this total is anywhere north of 40 points is because Indianapolis's defense has been suspect this year. They allowed 37 or more in three straight entering last week against Carolina, and then had two pick sixes against Bryce Young and the Panthers. But New England's offense is putrid. I would have to agree. Early start, Frankfurt, new area, new scenario, under 43 and a half. The Patriots have gone under in six of their nine games. And they are only a slight underdog, Mac Jones and his Patriots club. But Donnie's still not expected to win this game outright. And New England has not covered in any of its seven losses this year. Frankfurt fans, if you enjoyed the Chiefs and the Dolphins last weekend, sorry about this one. So that's the start, the standalone game to open up Sunday, Donnie. How about the one to end out Sunday in the Week 10 slate? This one is just go to bed. You know DRS is already going to be counting sheep by the time Sunday Night Football kicks off in Las Vegas. The odds, Donnie, have been a wild fluctuation here between the Raiders and the Jets. We have seen the Raiders as the favorite, the Jets as the favorite. Flip-flop back and forth. Right now, it's only 4 cents of difference, as you can see on the money line. I guess Gangrene is a slight favorite, Donnie, in Las Vegas, a minus 110 money line price for New York, minus 106 on the other side for Las Vegas.
I think this line actually would be even a little bit higher here towards the Jets if the Raiders just didn't get a bye week against the New York Giants, which, again, the Dallas Cowboys will get that bye this weekend going up against them. DeVito, I mean, come on. Now get stop the man this year. I like the fact that the Raiders got those good vibes back in the room. Let's smoke some cigars. We got rid of the big bad man here at the top of our organization, yeah. Josh McDaniels. But I do think the Jets overall are much, much more talented here. As long as we get – and again, this is great. Like, this is the handicap we have here. As long as we don't get stupid football out of Zach Wilson, the Jets should win. Yeah. But then there's a really good chance we get stupid football out of Zach Wilson. But I'm just going to say, the defense is better for the Jets. The weapons for me who are capable in this game, the Breece Halls, they should be able to eat against that Vegas Raiders defense here. I'll go Jets begrudgingly. There's no way I'm taking the Raiders. And I don't care what anybody says. Don't tell me last week what they did in a big win and away they go. No, they're going to get hammered the rest of the way, and the Jets defense should do some of that hammering on Sunday night.
The autumn wind is a Raider, and the autumn wind is Antonio Pierce and what he has done to this locker room. They were smoking cigars, Donnie, not because they beat the lowly G-men, because Josh McDaniels is no longer in the desert. Give me the Raiders outright on Sunday Night Football. I'll detail why I think that, and I believe, Donnie, that primetime total of 36.5 will come to fruition once again. Again, last night on Thursday Night Football in Chi-Town, the total was 38.5. It stayed under by more than a score. That was the 30th primetime game in this 2023 National Football League regular season. 23 of 30 have hit the under. I think we're going to see 24 of 31. And the quarterback I trust more is the rookie out of Purdue, Aiden O'Connell, than that of Zach Wilson. Now, credit to Zach, he did not throw a pick last week, Donnie, but he had no time whatsoever. Sacked 8 times against that Chargers pass rush, and the Raiders have a pretty good one as well, led by Mad Max Crosby. Is Rick Horro here? I'm hearing a lot of movement behind the scenes,
baby.
And a lot of ruffling. I mean, everybody's getting fired up. The autumn wind, Donnie, is a Raider, but they're not going to see the postseason. I appreciate our producers again for trying to build some mustard. None of these teams are getting to the playoffs. I don't know if any of them finish with even a winning record. So that's where things stand. The Week 10 Sunday slate. Maybe the ruffling was one Mike Lewin. Get you ready for Sunday. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Football Friday on Sports Grid and the Early Line. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is here, and now the man in the middle is two. Mike Blewett joins us on this Football Friday on TEL. You can see Blue on Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Pro Football In Game Live. Ending out the opening set of games on this Week 10 Sunday, that witching hour and all the craziness from the live reaction, setting the stage for the afternoon slate as well. Mike Blewett, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you for joining us here on this Football Friday.
Yeah, fired up. We got some interesting ones in the late window this week. Detroit at the Chargers, so looking forward to that one. The Giants at Dallas, maybe not our best game, but obviously there's plenty to bet on in that game as well.
And Mike Blewett, the team that you are very accustomed to in that late afternoon window, the Arizona Cardinals. But a different looking Cardinals team, as Kyler Murray is on track to start on Sunday, making his 2023 season debut at home in the desert against the Atlanta Falcons. If there are no hiccups or drawbacks, Kyler Murray will be out there on Sunday. The Falcons, though, Blue, a slight road favorite, laying a point and a half, minus 126 on the money line, the over-under 43.5. What will Kyler's return, Mike Blewett, mean for this Arizona side, who at the moment has only one win this season?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things that we're going to be tracking with Kyler, not just with this game, right? They're a 1-8 football team. They're headed towards the number one pick, and we're dealing with an expensive quarterback that is coming off a major injury. Their next few games after this are at Houston. They have the Rams at home, and then they're at the Steelers, and they head into a bye week. I think there's a world in which, you know, I have to say the Cardinals have been very pointed in saying that Kyler's coming back. He's their starting quarterback when he comes back. But you have to start considering the ramifications of what happens if Kyler goes down again, related to this injury or not. His contract carries a $105 million injury guarantee through 2026 and a $124.5 million that was fully guaranteed a year early through 2027. There are a lot of financial ramifications if he gets injured again related to this. Or there's a $46.2 million dead cap hit to trade him next March should a team be interested in a four-year, $150 million deal with Kyler Murray. I think that all is going to be him. And there's a world in which he gets showcased for a month and they say hang on to that number one overall pick. In terms of this game, I've been very consistent in saying that the Cardinals struggle mightily in the second half of games. Atlanta is a top 10 team in scoring in the second half. They score 11.8 points per game in the second half. The Cardinals are dead last in the league at 5.2 points per game. I'm going to lay the point and a half in the second half, and I think that's the way to get the win. I also think the Cardinals are going to be challenged to get over their team total of 20.5. I think Kyler can cure some things, but this is the worst roster in the NFL. I think they're going to continue to struggle. The quarterback play might be better, but it's not like Josh Dobbs was bad. I just think this team is way, way off the pace of the other NFL teams.
Yeah, and also, Mike, yesterday, Drake London did get in a full practice here. I do think the Atlanta Falcons offense will be able to score. They've actually been very good here scoring-wise under their new quarterback, Taylor Heinicke, coming in for Desmond Ridder. The second half against the Tennessee Titans, they moved the ball effectively in their last game. Even though they lost, still put up 28 points in that battle. And certainly, as we know, Arizona's defense, probably the worst in the NFL. Let's take a look here down south. Tennessee and Tampa Bay, Will Levis and Baker Mayfield here as we continue now with Will Levis being the entrenched starter, not Ryan Tannehill, for the Titans on the way out. Total in this game, Mike, listed at 38.5, a slight favorite to Tampa Bay here. Now, for my money, I actually like Tennessee in this football game. Where are you going here between the Titans and the Buccaneers?
I think I'm leaning your way. I got a chance to watch Will Levis in person last Thursday night. He obviously played well for most of the game, failed a little bit in the fourth quarter, threw some interceptable passes, and ultimately the final interception, but he outplayed Kenny Pickett for most of the game. So I think this is the right move by the Titans. They have some numbers here which are going to have me leaning their way. They are 7-1 against the number coming off of these Thursday night mini buys. I think that's a testament to how well Vrabel has folks prepared here. They're 5-2 in their last seven against the number versus the NFC South. And I think we've seen, and 7-1 against teams with a losing record. So I think what we're seeing really from the Bucs is those struggles that we anticipated going into the season, even though we assumed they'd have a fighting chance in this division, which they still do, frankly. I just think they're coming home to roost. The offense isn't consistent. I think the defense is giving up bigger plays than what we saw from that championship defense a couple of years ago. So I do like the Titans here. I think Derrick Henry can have a decent day and get back on track as well.
A 1.5-point spread in favor of Tampa Bay. The Titans have been sensational as an underdog under Mike Vrabel since he became the head coach in Nashville in 2018. 26-23 straight up as a dog, and it is a very short number in Tampa on Sunday. Will Levis Blue, who you saw last week inside Acrisure Stadium on a Thursday night against the Steelers, did not throw for four touchdown passes like he did in his career debut and did have an interception, but looked rather comfortable at times, throwing for more than 260 yards. In fact, Levis has gone over his passing yards prop on Sunday in Tampa of 220.5 in both of the two NFL career starts he has made. All right, Mike Blewett, to the game in that Sunday afternoon window that you'll be keeping an eye on as well. Might there be any live betting opportunities in a game that features a spread of 17.5 points and a total of 39 and a hook? That's what we have at the Star on Sunday. The Cowboys, a 17.5 point favorite against the New York Giants, the over-under 39.5. The reason the big spread is in Big D, Mike Blewett, is because we expect Tommy DeVito, the quarterback, the rookie out of Illinois by way of Syracuse, to make his first NFL career start. If that is the case, DeVito would be the 10th rookie QB to start a game this season in 2023. That's setting a new mark, a single season record in the history of the NFL for the most rookie QBs to ever start a game in 1 year. So, Blue, the question is not, can the Cowboys win this game? That's almost a virtual guarantee by the odds. How close do the Cowboys get to covering as a 3-score home favorite on Sunday?
Always going to be scary to lay that many points in an NFL game, but for those of us that had the displeasure of watching Tommy DeVito the last 2 weeks, both times in relief, it's obviously a challenge for the Giants to run any sort of discernible offense. That 17.5 is always going to leave you open, though, for backdoor. I suspect that DeVito could actually have decent numbers in the second half of this game. I think you want to look at Cowboys first half for them getting off to a good start and Cowboys team total. The Cowboys team total of 27.5, I think, is in play. I would suspect some turnovers will happen. This is going to be Cowboys stacking the box, letting DeVito try to beat them. They're going to try to bottle up Saquon and then let their offense should be able to cook. I just think you're seeing a team where the wheels have totally come off, and we saw the Raiders just roll right over them. Once Daniel Jones went down, that team was done. I suspect they're done for the year. I don't expect a lot of fight in this game. So I would say the Cowboys team total is sort of what I'm looking at primarily. And then the first half spread is 9.5. I'd rather attack it that way and leave the 17.5 out on an island.
Yeah, Blue, I think there's a couple of good numbers in there just based on the betting profile and getting the better edge of it. 9.5 in the first half for the Cowboys to win by 10. You're on the better side of that hook. And right now the Giants team total is 10.5. The under has a juice of minus 132. But before that moves to 10 or even 9.5, I would hop on now. We'll talk about it in the pick six a little bit later on in our next hour. Mike Blue is not going anywhere. You see the terrible towel over his right shoulder, the Pittsburgh Steelers emblem on his left chest. We will get you ready for the Steelers game at home in Pittsburgh on Sunday against the Packers and elsewhere around this Sunday slate, week number 10. Come back and join us on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We get you ready for the Week 10 Sunday slate around the National Football League. The second half of the season already underway. A couple of games we have not previewed yet for this upcoming Sunday. We do so now on this Football Friday. I'm Ben. He is Donnie. Mike Blewett back for a second consecutive segment. Now, here's the great thing about Blue. He is a diehard Steelers fan, a yinzer out there with the rest of the Steel City. You see the terrible towel over his right shoulder and the logo on his shirt, but he always gives it to you straight in his assessment of his Steelers side. Mike Blewett, let me step in with some bias. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to cover as a 3-point home favorite at home on Sunday in Acrisure against a terrible Green Bay Packers team, the over-under 38.5. Two of the premier brands, Blue, in all of the National Football League. But right now, the only confidence I have, and it might not be that high of confidence, but the only legitimate confidence I have is in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think that's fair. 10 Super Bowls amongst them, and both teams feel pretty far from winning one this season. A lot of struggles on offense. Obviously, much has been made of the Steelers' innate ability to win games, despite the fact that the offense struggles in the manner that they do. They've trailed in every game in the fourth quarter except the Raiders game, and they still managed to pull off a 5-3 record. And, you know, it even happened last week at the game that I was there. So, you know, with more than 6 days rest, which the Steelers have here off the mini bye, they're 8-2. I just feel like this is a sweet spot for Tomlin. I don't often walk into these segments touting how great the Steelers are and an easy cover, and I don't think anything is ever going to be easy with them. It's flat three for a reason. The Steelers get involved in a lot of one-score games, and you can see a game-winning field goal by Boswell deciding this, but I'd like to see Jordan Love go on the road and play well against this defense. People will look at the Steelers' defensive numbers and criticize them, and rightfully so. But this is all a product of the fact that the offense is dead last in the league in time of possession. The Steelers' defense is just on the field a lot. I'm not claiming that they're tired. I'm just saying they're out there more to have more stats accumulated on them. They bottled up Will Levis. Despite him playing well, they forced three field goals. It's what they do. So touchdown drives are hard to come by. They create turnovers and sacks, and that is where the Steelers are really going to live, despite the fact that some of the statistical numbers aren't great. Jordan Love has to prove it to me before I'm going to back him as a three-point dog, especially on the road in Pittsburgh. I think the Steelers get the win.
And by the way, looking at that, I think it's an easy spot for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And sometimes as handicappers, we go, well, what am I missing here? A -3 yeah. here for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that actually should be higher. If anybody's watched Green Bay, you don't say last week, hey, they got back on track and they beat the Rams. They are horrendous on offense and a tough spot there. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers win going away, but apparently 8 out of every 10 tickets as well from the FanDuel Sportsbook coming in on those Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Yeah, let's head out to the West Coast here. Washington and Seattle. Sam Howell, fresh off a victory against Bill Belichick. Oh, that's a big win. No, everybody beats Bill Belichick and the Patriots in New England now, so not anything new. But the question marks arise here for the Seattle Seahawks, Mike. Last week, trying to step up and getting smashed by the Baltimore Ravens. Is this a bounce-back scenario, and are you willing to lay close to a touchdown with the Seahawks?
I do think it's a bounce-back scenario, but I think it says a lot about the Seahawks and the market that they are posting nearly a touchdown spread here. I think that the blowout against the Ravens isn't really being factored in all that much. Yeah. I think if it was, this spread might be, you know, I don't think there'd be much different. I think that game was thrown out. We know how good the Ravens are, and I do think that what is perplexing about this Commanders offense is that it is operating like the Chiefs offense has operated in the past. So Bieniemy is doing those same things. Unfortunately, I don't know that's the right path for Sam Howell, because we see guys like McLaurin and Dotson not really capture a large target share or a large percentage of the offense in the way that I feel like they should. I think it would be more explosive if they didn't spread it out so much. I think Seattle can get back on track here. I think that 6.5 is absolutely in play. It's a lot to lay. So again, I know I'm a broken record at times. I think you want to look for a first half or second half number. I prefer the second half here with Seattle. It keeps us from having to lay an entire touchdown. And if you're comfortable with Seattle getting a win, I think you look for a second half number laying 3.5 as opposed to the full touchdown for the game.
The Seahawks have not covered in a win this year, or at least lost against the spread, I should say. They did push as a 4-point favorite against the Browns, winning by 24-20. In their four other wins this year, three as the favorite side, a win and a cover by margin. But the Commanders have been pretty good this year, Blue, as an underdog. Now 4-1-1 against the number, including last week's game against the New England Patriots. I never understood how the Pats could be laying a field goal against against anybody in the National Football League, and Washington won outright. The Commanders have won outright in three of their four covers against the number this year as a dog. So let's talk about some of the marquee matchups, Blewett, around this Week 10 Sunday slate. The big one in Jacksonville, the Jaguars hosting the Niners, both San Francisco and Jacksonville fresh off a bye week, but they entered in different directions. Jacksonville, the hottest team in the NFL, they've won five straight. San Francisco entered their open weekend losing three in a row. San Francisco, a three-point favorite, a strong spread in favor of the Niners, Blue. What does it represent to you?
I think there is a sense that obviously that people feel like the Niners are going to bounce back. It's just a tough stretch for a team that is still competing for a Super Bowl. And I think it speaks a little bit to how I think the three of us probably agree that the Jaguars end up running away with this division, but they have been doing so without the offense being top tier. The defense has forced the most turnovers in the league, and that is how they are getting out in front of teams. They did so against the Steelers. We've seen that against the Colts. They've done a really good job of turning over the ball, and I think that's a big part of their success. But in order for them to be successful against a team like the Niners, they're going to have to play legitimate offense in the way that the Bengals did against the Niners, not tiptoe around a victory like they were able to do against the Steelers a few weeks ago. They got some turnovers. They played well on defense and got the victory. They're going to have to play their A game against this San Francisco defense. And I just suspect that the market does not feel that they're going to be able to do that. I think it's a tricky game. I'm not writing in the Niners because I think they're the better team overall. I think this is a tricky one. Them laying three on the road against a team that's on a hot streak like the Jaguars are, one of the tougher games we've had to evaluate this year. But I think that's what you're looking at. The Jaguars' offense could be limited against the Niners, who obviously bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, Ben and I talked so many times already this week about a true step-up game here and what that means for the AFC if the Jacksonville Jaguars can win at home against the 49ers, and also what it means for the 49ers on the opposite side. Divisional duo here. This is going to be a good one. Cleveland and Baltimore this weekend. Good football teams heading into the Charm City over the past month or so. It hasn't worked out all that well. Smashing defeats to the Lions and the Seahawks, but now we get Cleveland with their superstar quarterback back at the helm after a game of beating the lowly Cardinals here. He's going to get a much different bird breed this weekend in the Ravens and that defense. What are we looking at here, Mike, from this game from you?
So the one thing that I have been auto betting, we talked about on this show a few weeks ago, we talked a lot about how the Ravens offense was going to see some positive regression, and we have seen that over the last few weeks. That frustrating game against the Steelers with all of the turnovers and drop passes, and then they go to London and they have a difficult red zone performance against the Titans. Well, since then, they're just putting up 30 points every week. The team total this week, a manageable 22.5. I think that's the way I'm going to play it. I understand the strength of the Browns defense. I need to see them stop Lamar right now. I think they're on a hot streak. 6.5 is a big number, and I know 38.5, we're leaning towards a lower number. I don't think the Ravens are getting stopped right now offensively. I think they're too good, even with the respect that I have for this Browns defense.
38.5 is the total. Two of the three best scoring defense in the NFL. Baltimore first, only allowing 13.7 points per game. Cleveland third, only allowing 17.4 points per game. Baltimore is less than a touchdown favorite this year, both 4-1 straight up and against the spread. Cleveland as a dog, albeit take it with a grain of salt because Dorian Thompson-Robinson and PJ Walker made those starts 0-1-1 against the spread. Blue, there is no better division in the NFL than that of the AFC North. It is the only division that has all four teams with a winning record, and all four of those teams are at least two games above 500 or better. Bengals, Browns, Steelers, 5-3. The Ravens lead the crop at 7-2. Blue, what is your outlook for the AFC North in the second half of this year?
I don't think it's all that complicated. I think Cincinnati and Baltimore are the class of the AFC along with Kansas City. I don't rule out teams like the Bills and Jacksonville and Miami being competitive, but I don't think anybody's competing with those first three. And I think that's going to be a battle to the end of the year. I just think the Ravens' schedule, when you look at the Ravens' schedule, and we've talked about it on here before, they're going to rip off a bunch of wins now, but they're going to have to finish at Jacksonville, at San Francisco, Miami, and Pittsburgh. That's their last four games. I think this division is a long way from being decided, but I would give the edge to Baltimore because they're going to rip off a bunch of wins here.
The Bengals also a 6.5-point favorite on Sunday, hosting Houston, Cincy looking to make it 5 in a row. Mike Pluitt, we appreciate the time as always. See you on In Game Live. Pro Football In Game Live at 4 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday afternoon.
Can't wait.
We will see you then. Hopefully that terrible towel is a swinging for a Steelers win and cover on Sunday.
Renegade.
College football, a lot of college football up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The second Saturday in November of this 2023 college football season. And what a weekend it is sure to be. Not a ton of changes in the college football playoff rankings in the second set that was unveiled earlier this week on Tuesday, because the selection committee knows what we do as well. With four top 20 tilts on this Saturday, a lot is going to change based on the results. Donnie, before we dive into the actual games, breaking down the X's and O's and the college football handicaps, of course, we must discuss the Michigan sign-stealing saga, because it is the marquee game of the weekend. It is the College Football Today game of the week tomorrow on a Saturday morning here on the grid. It is a top 10 tilt in Happy Valley inside Beaver Stadium in State College, Pennsylvania. It is third-ranked Michigan and 10th-ranked Penn State. By far the toughest test of the year for the Maize and Blue, their only game against a ranked opponent in 2023, their only game against a team in the FPI top 40. DRS, before we talk about this game, and one of the things that is a little bit sad, this game itself is enough to live on the marquee, but with all the atmosphere and the environment around it, Donnie, it becomes the focus of the sports world on Saturday and this college football weekend. We brought you the update at the end of the opening hour. ESPN's Heather Dinich reporting this morning the Big Ten is expected to hand down a punishment to Jim Harbaugh in the Michigan football program before the Wolverines take off on their flight to Happy Valley. As she reported, Donnie, with some additional information coming out, it is expected to be a potential 3-game suspension, or at least a multiple game suspension of Jim Harbaugh. I do want to throw in this caveat quickly, Donnie, before we take off the reins and let Donnie the dog start barking on this situation. Dinich did further say a wide range of scenarios has been presented this week at the Big Ten League offices in Rosemont, Illinois, and a suspension is on the table, but it could be anywhere from an indefinite suspension of Harbaugh to a public reprimand only of the Michigan football program. All right, Donnie, the floor is yours.
And look, tomorrow, we'll start on the football game here with just saying this. One team might not have a head coach, the other is James Franklin. It's a big football game. You take the team with no head coach because James Franklin doesn't win those games. Well, let's remove that from the equation here. You know what I mean? We'll take a shot at Penn State before now we jump on Michigan at the same time.
Sure.
The fact of the matter is, like growing up, like you usually taught morals, right? Hey, go to school, don't cheat, try to be a good human being, you know. Play to get ahead, but don't like step on anybody to get over there. The gloves are off in college football now because the precedent is going to be set in this equation. Michigan has done something against the Big Ten, its own schools here, to try to get ahead. It's stealing signals. If you say everybody steals signals, that's fine. But if it's written down saying you can't steal signals, Ben, I use the most simplistic terms because most people sometimes don't understand like what the stealing signals entangle. Why can't you go to a game and do that? Forget about it. I right now am sitting here on the Sports Grid Network. If upper management told me, Donnie, you can't wear a red T-shirt or you will be fired or let go, I wear a red T-shirt and go like, well, it's an off shade of red and I didn't really know it would be this devastating. The point of the fact of the matter is, you know you can't do it, you still did it, and you got caught red-handed, and then you're trying to act like, well, Ben wore red shirt yesterday. That's not the point here for Michigan. It's not the point for the Big Ten. So if we're looking at a coach that's already been suspended three games here, with Michigan self-imposing that thing, Jim, you lied about an investigation. You're probably lucky we didn't fire you, only to have weeks later him looking at another three-game suspension for a massive scandal. But you know what Michigan's actually doing? You know what? We already have the framework together for a monster contract extension with a huge rage. Nobody cares. And I don't even blame the Big Ten commissioner who looks at this situation, Ben, and says to himself, you know what? But the rest of the teams are yelling at me, you have to do something. This isn't fair. You can't just let Michigan skate. And then he checks his bank account here and goes, oh, the Big Ten's looking pretty good here. If I remove them from the playoff equation, that's really going to hurt the Big Ten itself here. So you're at a crossroads. I can't fault the Big Ten commissioner for not acting, because technically, in the best interest of the Big Ten, it's about the almighty dollar, and that makes sense. But if we're setting the precedent that you can run wild and cheat at every single turn and break every single rule, and the worst thing is going to be not your football team, not your institution, but your coach just can't be on the sidelines for a few games here. Watch out, college football. If you thought the Wild West here was actually the NIL and the moving and the changing where guys can change teams here, nonsense here. The Wild West is just beginning, where coaches now going like, what's more important here? Me getting big contracts, our university winning, and me missing a football game or two? Watch out.
So, Donnie, I do believe a multiple-game suspension of a head coach at a premier football program before their biggest games of the year on the horizon in the hopes of winning a third consecutive Big Ten title and representing the conference in a third consecutive college football playoff is a severe discipline and punishment. But, Donnie, we have spoken at length about this both on and off the air. If you go to my social media feed on Twitter, you know Michigan fans are not all that pleased with some of my takes on this scenario. Here's where I fall with everything in the atmosphere we have seen over the last 2.5 weeks. I'm not so mad at Michigan anymore. I'm mad at the response of trying to belittle what Michigan has done outside of the integrity of the game. There is no doubt about it. You can argue the rule. You can argue the impact. You can argue the severity of what it resulted to in those game outcomes. Michigan broke the rules. Michigan itself, in its 10-page response to the Big Ten on Wednesday night, did not deny adamantly any wrongdoing. Their response, their defense, was that Tony Petitti, the new commissioner of the Big Ten, better be careful setting a dangerous precedent and wading into the dark waters of sign stealing. Sign stealing is allowed in certain capacities in college football. In-person scouting and the use of electronic recording equipment is a violation of NCAA bylaws, and Michigan checks both of those boxes. Michigan asked for due process outside of the NCAA investigation because, frankly, it is worth repeating, Donnie, the Big Ten is not leading this investigation. They are cooperating, I am sure, with the NCAA, probably receiving hourly updates on any new info that is uncovered in discovery, but it's the NCAA's investigation into Michigan that has led to all of the reporting and the information that has been made public. And Donnie, here's where I ultimately land, because it comes down to discipline. It comes down to punishment. What does all of this mean? Michigan broke the rules and got caught. Now what for their final three games of this year? I know Michigan broke the rules. I did not think that Tony Petitti nor the Big Ten League office would discipline Michigan in a severe way or suspend Jim Harbaugh for any amount of time the remainder of 2023. Because the one thing, Donnie, we know in this world is that money rules all. And that is the case in college football. And the Big Ten is no dummy. Michigan is the favorite right now to win a national championship. The maize and blue are the odds-on favorites at minus 125 to win the Big Ten Conference Championship. Michigan is the league's best shot, one of the league's multiple shots at making the college football playoff in the millions and millions of dollars associated with that here in 2023. Boo Corrigan, the head of the CFP selection committee, said it very simply on Tuesday night, Donnie. As long as Michigan is eligible for postseason competition, we will rank them in the CFP, and we will consider only their football resume, not anything off the field. And that's where I thought the Big Ten would land. Maybe a discipline more attuned to a fine or a withholding of TV revenue, but not a punishment via suspension of Harbaugh. But that's where it seems, Donnie, we are tracking to on this Friday morning, where again, in just about 26 hours, Michigan kicks off a top 10 tilt on the road in Happy Valley against number 10 Penn State.
Yes, and also just to put a cherry on top here, it really does pay to cheat, and it pays financially to cheat as well. We didn't get to the topic yesterday, but it was supposed to be brought up. Bill Self, $13 million a year, wiretaps with the FBI. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Just keep denying it, string it out as long as you can. And yes, Kansas is a major player in NCAA basketball. They're just going to slap these guys' wrists. If this was Cleveland State, they would be banished from Division I for the remainder of their being as a university. It's just the way big money markets go. It's the way it is, and there will be a huge precedent set that if it comes down today where you can have coaches on sidelines infiltrate other teams and film from the sideline here, that all you get is your head coach a three-game suspension. Well, Nick Saban, get out there. Get everybody in full blast, because you could pay everybody you want now. You could cheat as much as you can, and the Wild Wild West has officially begun. But having said that, getting back to the game tomorrow, I'm excited about this game. It does kick off at noon. It should be a pretty good battle. But again, if you take out Michigan, who I do think is a better football team, you have to still say Penn State had a step-up game, went on the road and looked terrible against Ohio State. They're home in their own environment. The crowd will be behind them. Maybe Drew Aller learned his lesson in that, but it still comes down to it here. Hey, Penn State fans, are you going to be okay with a loss to Michigan, a nice finish to the season, a New Year's Six bowl game, and then give James Franklin another big-time extension on top of it? Or are you going to actually stand up and say, you know what? We'll fight this battle for the Big Ten ourselves in Happy Valley and come away with a victory over Michigan and take the legal precedent out of the equation and handle it yourself. How about that?
Donnie, I love the enthusiasm. And I think there are many around college football that are unbiased in this scenario, probably rooting for Penn State tomorrow to take care of business on the football field against Michigan. Now I'll put my bias in. I bet Penn State to win the Big Ten way back in the offseason at a plus 650 number, used a 100% profit boost on FanDuel. It's 13-1. Donnie, with the idea that home field advantage in this series over the better part of the last decade has been incredibly crucial, not just the home team winning by a field goal and escaping, but winning by a pretty hefty margin. The home team in this match between Penn State and Michigan since 2010, that's 11 games, Donnie, is 8-3. Whoop-de-doo, the home team is 8-3 straight up, with an average margin of victory, Donnie, in those eight wins of more than 19 points per game. The early look ahead line was a full touchdown in favor of Michigan. Whether we expect it to be a more competitive game just because of the football, or the betting public is coming in to hammer the Nittany Lions for the good of the integrity of the sport, the line is now 4.5. We are talking about two of the three best scoring defenses in college football. Michigan, the best by far. The only team in the country, Donnie, allowing less than a touchdown on average. But the Nittany Lions, not all that far behind. It's why the over-under is 45.5. Donnie, I think the key in this football game is Drew Aller, the young, not freshman, but the first-year starting quarterback for Penn State. His passing yards prop, a dismal 187.5. But you can see how dominant Michigan has been on the left side of your screen. The Wolverines, Donnie, have not allowed a 200-yard passer this year. They have not allowed one single quarterback in their opening nine games of the year to throw for 200. The closest somebody got, Nebraska's Heinrich Harburg. He had a 199, and Nebraska lost the game by 38, playing from the trailing position all game long. We'll talk more about the intriguing matchups around the country in college football as we keep it rolling here to end out this second hour into hour number three, because there's not just Penn State, Michigan tomorrow in Happy Valley. Three more top 20 games. Utah, Washington, a huge one in Sanford Stadium, Ole Miss, Georgia, and a game for teams still battling for position in the SEC in Columbia. It's Tennessee and Missouri. More to come around college football next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh boy, you wanted some college football controversy and chaos on this Friday, entering the second Saturday in November, the third to last week, or as Donnie would say, the penultimate week of this college football regular season. You got it on this Friday. We end out hour number two here on the Early Line. I am Ben, he is Donnie, and this is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, available for download at the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen. All right, Donnie Wrightside, we're going to ask the people out there what they consider to be the marquee matchup of this weekend in college football. There is one answer, and the public has found it. Let's find out what they really had to say and fade the public. We are back here on TEL. Sorry, just looking at my own producer trying to call me out on Twitter. Anyway, Donnie, as we look at the Fade the Public poll, right now the options for which CFB game this week is the most intriguing: Michigan, Penn State, Ole Miss, Georgia, Utah, Washington, USC, Oregon. That doesn't even include one of the top 20 tilts, Tennessee and Missouri. Most of the public, Donnie, more than 58% of the public saying Michigan at Penn State. That is the right answer.
Yeah, the public is on fire this weekend. Yesterday, they clearly told us, Ben, you know what? Don't worry. Don't watch the football game. It's a stone cold under. And they're telling us the same thing here this weekend. Michigan and Penn State, close to 59% of the total votes coming in on that football game, and rightfully so. And also, I think maybe people thinking along my timelines here, Ben, like, this game's on at noon. It gets over 3:30. We can be in bed by 4 o'clock on a Saturday night getting ready for pro football today the very next day. I mean, this is the perfect weekend here. And by the way, I'm going to have some pizza for lunch today. Every institution place I go into, I'm screaming, "We are," just to see if I get a response and see how high the market is here for a Penn State victory. You scream, "We are," and nobody says anything, that's a bad sign. You scream, "We are," and they yell back, "Penn State," it's going to be on and popping tomorrow at noon. I could feel it.
And Donnie hates Penn State, but he just hates cheating more. We'll talk about this when hour three starts in 55 seconds on the Early Line.